Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
Come on over here, folks. It's good stuff. Got a whole family getting water baptized today. Okay? I'm really excited for you, Claudia. It's really good when your kids are following you. When I got saved and we got water baptized, our whole family got water baptized at the same time, so it was really good. For those of you who are new to Impact Church, water baptism isn't just about getting wet, but it's a command of the Lord. He says, Peter said in Acts, he says, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized unto salvation." And so this is a really spiritual thing that's taking place in the lives of these individuals today, because God is really, he's cutting off every enemy of their soul. Amen. And so he is going to do a miracle in your lives and going to make even more so kind of the presence of God and what he's done in your life a working reality. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Amen. Amen. I'm yours. Amen. That's really what you're declaring to God today, is I'm signed, sealed, delivered, and I belong to Jesus. But you know what? In the same way, Jesus says, signed, sealed, delivered, I belong to you. And so there's a commitment on God's part to belong to you and make you prosperous. Amen. So I'm just going to ask you a question about why you're getting water baptized, and just kind of ask you, you know, do you want to follow Christ? So we'll start with Kayla. So we're going to make it really quick, okay? Because Pastor Carl still got to preach and we still got to water baptize you. So if you start going long, I'm going to go enough, all right? So Kayla, just start really quickly for us, okay?
Okay. I guess I'm getting water baptized because he helped me beat addiction and got me healed from Epsi. So that was what transferred me into believing in him. I want to transfer him. So therefore... actually, this church made me do it. This is really... I don't know. It's brought me to be with God more and more.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So, Noah, how long you been coming to this church?
13 years.
So, how old are you to this date, Noah?
13.
I remember his mom when she first came to the Crisis Pregnancy Center, and we've had a long, long relationship, and I've seen Nicole grow in the Lord, and isn't it really great to see your children serving God and following in the waters of baptism? Amen? Really proud of you, raising lovely children. So tell me why you're doing this today.
I don't know.
Do you love Jesus?
Yeah.
Tell everybody.
I love Jesus.
That's really good. That'll do. All right, Jeanette, how long have you been coming to church, Jeanette?
About the same time as Noah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah, about 13 years.
Why are you doing this today?
Because I love God and he's my Savior and I just want to be with him forever.
That's like perfect, eh? All right, Claudia, I'll move this way.
So tell everybody a little bit about yourself quickly. And.
Well, I've been here for a year now, and as soon as I came into this place... I felt his presence. I was born again. That's why I'm doing this.
Amen.
So Claudia has been a believer in God for a long time, but something was sparked in her. Something was ignited in her that she'd never felt before. And so that's really, really exciting. Robert.
Hi, I'm her son, Robert. I've just been coming here a little bit less than her for almost a year now. And before this, I didn't know God existed. I was raised in Catholicism, but I never actually saw any evidence. But ever since coming here, every single sermon, every single Wednesday night, I've been seeing his presence continually. And that is why I want to be baptized. I want to take action in his name.
Oh, that's very good. Gee, That's really good. You've got to kind of like when God shows up and reveals himself to people that were never really, were skeptics and didn't believe that God was real. Krista.
Hi. So, she's my mom and my brother. I'm here because I lost my faith in God a long time ago, and I didn't start feeling him until I came here. Yeah, I love God.
That's good. Well, that's good enough for me. How about y'all? That's good. So we're just going to encourage these guys to do whatever. Usually we let them have some time to get changed into some more comfortable clothes. So we're going to let you get changed. Pastor Carl's going to share. And so come on in and join us when you change, and then Carl will call you all up. Okay, good job, everybody. Go ahead. Good girl. PK?
I love that stuff, don't you? What I love is that you know, we see children that have been raised here, born into this house, and they're following the Lord, whole families following the Lord, whole families that have come in, and people in different stages in their life experience God, and it's such a joy as a church to see people and help people and serve them in their journey with Jesus, isn't it? It is. Okay. Hey, I'm going to jump in. We're going to finish up on doors today, okay? So I'm going to do this in about 25 minutes. Can you say 25? Maybe 23. All right, maybe even 23 minutes. So 20. Can I hear 20? All right. Do I hear 15? Wow, some 15 people. I'm never having you for dinner again in Barb. I've known you too long. Stop it. Okay, so... All right, we started this whole series with Jesus is the door. How many know Jesus is the door? And if you're going to experience anything in God, you've got to experience the first door. And we had the first door, and we talked about Jesus the door, and you'll see the sheepfold coming up right here. Here it comes. Right here. Boom. There. Jesus said, I am the door. So if you're going to access anything of God, anything that's from him, anything divine, encounter the supernatural of God in any way, you're going to go through Jesus. If you're experiencing the supernatural any other way except through Jesus, it's a counterfeit, it's unauthorized, and it's not from him. Jesus is the door, and the way to every blessing of the Heavenly Father, Jesus is the door. Isn't that wonderful? He makes it so simple. Come to me, I'm the door. How many people use the door today? I mean, he made it so easy you can access him. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. He is the living way to experience the goodness of God. So we laid out that Jesus is the door. The next door we talked about was this door, the door of the church. Right up here. It's coming up right now. Right now. The sermon will only be 15 minutes if they can stay with me. Are you ready? Okay. Acts 2 verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were saved. The Lord added where? What did he add? He added to the church. He added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who added? The Lord added. It wasn't my idea. I wasn't that smart. But God said, once you come through the door of knowing him, experiencing him, getting access to the Father, to come into full maturity, experience all that he wants for you, he's going to place you in community. He's going to put you in a body of people. He's going to put you in a body of believers so that you can grow up and experience the fullness that he is. Everybody needs a church. This is a pretty good one. I like this one. It's a good place to go. So we talked about the church, what it is to be added to the community, experience the maturity that happens through community. And the next thing, we talked about another door. We talked to Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. It says, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Your Father is in the secret place. Where's your Father? He's in the secret place. It says, shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. He's not in your secret place. He's in his secret place. If you abide in the shadow of the Most High, in the secret place of the Almighty, you need to find that secret place. You need to know how to dwell with him, because it says he sees in secret. He sees. There's transactions. There's things that take place in the secret place. You engage the Father, and the things that you experience with him in the secret place, it says the Father who sees in secret, he will reward you openly. So the outward expressions of God and his power and purpose in your life are directly related to your ability to shut the door and find yourself in the secret place. So we talked about shutting the door, what that means, to get in that place with him where you have intimate communion with him and you can live out of that. Then we went to Hosea chapter 2 verse 15, and it said, I will make in the valley of Achor, which means in the valley of trouble, he says, I will give you a door of hope. In every situation you find yourself in, God is there, and no matter what's going on, God is ready to give you access to a place where you can experience the supernatural of God. God in that situation. So we have to know how to access and navigate those doors. We talked about Hebrews 11 verse 1. It says, now faith is the substantiating of things hoped for. Faith is how you make real. If there's something you're hoping for, faith is how you substantiate the things you hope for. Faith is how you make real and concrete. It's hope, the joyful, confident expectation of good. But for that hope to come into expression, you need to use your faith. Faith works by believing and confessing. Mark 11, 23, 24, don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which he says will come to pass. Things that you say. If a person does not doubt in their heart, but they believe in their heart, it says the things that they say, that they confess, they will come to pass. Romans 10, 8 to 10 says, with your heart you believe unto righteousness, but with your mouth you make a confession unto salvation. So the things that you believe in your heart, the things that you hope for, you have to articulate with your mouth. Your mouth is your address in the spirit realm. When you use your mouth and you use your words, you bring into manifestation, you bring into agreement the purposes of God, and you bring them into expression. One of my favorite teachers, he's passed away now, but it was Kenneth Hagin, and Kenneth Hagin said, when you believe and speak, when you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth, you open the door to the supernatural. When you believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth, you open the door to the supernatural. So faith confessions create your reality. Come on, say that with me. Faith confessions create your reality. They really do. Doubt confessions create your reality. Fear confessions create your reality. It says, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. But it says your tongue is really a tool. It's a weapon. And your tongue gives authority to something. So if you make sure that you watch your mouth and you speak life and you speak the word of God over yourself, you're going to bring into manifestation all of these wonderful good words in his book. Can I get an amen? Now that was all in the last 4 weeks. So we want to jump on to this week. And this week, I mean, we talked about he's the door. We talked about that the church, you have to access that church door. Then we talked about how to shut the door and come into that place of intimacy with him. And then we learned how to access the door of hope and how to bring hope into your situation and your circumstances. And now in every situation, God is ready to act for you. So we've talked about the door of hope. But now the last one is, I want you to realize that you're the door. So now the last thing is, be the door. Turn to your neighbor and say, be the door. Jesus said, I am the door, but Jesus is the door so that you can be the door. That makes a lot of sense, right? Proverbs 8:34, blesses the man who listens to me, watches daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. See, when we come to know him, we get access to him, we can get hooked up with him, we can be in the partner with him, and we can see the things coming and going out of the doors of God's heart and his purpose. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me and I in him. He who abides in me, I went through the door, I abide in him, I've made him my fixed dwelling place. It says, he who abides in me and me in him. See, it wasn't just that God wanted to get you to heaven. God wanted to get heaven into you. It wasn't just that he wanted to get you to be a believer and when everything gets ugly, he'll pull you out of here. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that God wants to get heaven into you and he wants to fill the earth with his glory through you. So you've used the door. You've learned how to exercise your faith. But now all of that is necessary because you now are a living, breathing, walking, mobile portal. You are a living, breathing, walking door. You are a living, breathing, walking place where everyone can encounter the heavenlies and experience God. If you want to get a Big Mac, you have to go to McDonald's. And if I opened a restaurant and said, I have Big Macs, McDonald's would sue me. They'd say, no, we've got Big Macs. Well, you know what? You are a soul franchise of the Holy Ghost. If people are going to encounter God, they've got to do it through a living person who's got their heart wide open to God. Someone who is a living, breathing, walking access point to heavenly favor. And that's you. This whole thing happens so that you can be the door. Just turn to your neighbor and say, be the door. Be the door. All right, be the door. You gotta be the door. So Jesus is the door. He grants you access to every spiritual blessing. You are the door that grants Jesus access to fill the earth with his glory. So Jesus is the door that grants you access to every spiritual blessing. But you are the door that grants Jesus access to fill the earth with his glory. Do you get that? That's absolutely true. All right, first Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery. A mystery is a mystery. Like, if you didn't know what was on the desk here and you can't see it, I'd say, well, it's no longer a mystery. It's a box of Kleenex. Oops, it's a mystery. It's no longer a mystery. Oops, it's a mystery. It's no longer a mystery. That was deep, wasn't it? You see, God wanted to make known there was a mystery, and nobody really understood it before, but Jesus came so that now he could bring people into relationship with the Father. He could be the door of access where you're reconciled to the Father, but now the whole mystery was that it could be Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, God's purpose is to fill the earth with his glory. Now, the whole thing was, Jesus came so that you can be restored to the Father, and the Father can be restored to you, and so that now all that he wants to do can happen in earth, because he's got living, breathing, walking access points to fill the earth with his purpose. Be the door. Shout at your neighbor, be the door. Be the door. Be the door. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20, a part of it here, it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. The door. We're reconciled to Jesus. And he's given us now the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Isn't that awesome? God took all the sin of the whole world, past, present, and future, and he put it on Jesus, and he's not going to impute their sin to them ever. God took the sin of the whole world, put it on Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world, and everyone can be reconciled to him because of the cross. Now Jesus, God was in him reconciling the world, but now God is in you, ministering and declaring and shouting, you are reconciled to God. He said, you are now. Christ is in you. And he says that you are, give me the next slide. Next slide. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We are ambassadors through Christ as if God was pleading through us. Every day God is speaking through you. Every day God is proclaiming through you. Every day just with your life, just with who you are, God is pleading through us. We implore you on God's behalf, be reconciled to God. Why? Because everything is done. It's all finished. The way is wide open. Come and be reconciled to God. So he's the door, but then we're the door. And the whole point was that now he could get back in us and he could fill the earth with a demonstration of his goodness forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Settle down. I know it's exciting. It's all about responsibility, isn't it? What are you doing? Just wait until he gets me out of here. That's not the gospel. The gospel is he's in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. All right, so let's look at a couple things. Acts chapter 3, verse 6 to 8 says, but what we do have, we give you. Now, here's Peter being the door. All right, Peter accepted Jesus, was following Jesus, spent time with Jesus. He got flooded and filled with the Holy Spirit. And now Peter is a living, breathing, walking, mobile tabernacle of the presence of God. He's a living, breathing access point to everything good. He goes to the temple, he walks in, and he sees a fella who's been coming every day since birth, and he's lame and crippled. And all of a sudden, Peter says, we can be the door. I'm the door. I'm an access point to this guy's deliverance and healing. I'm the door. So he said, I don't have silver and gold. That's not really what you need. He says, but I do have something that I'm ready to give you. I am a dispenser of heavenly favors. I am a doorway. I am an access point to incredible breakthrough. And I, this day, have a breakthrough for you. Right now, behind door number one. What do I have to give you? He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. On the authority of his name, on the authority of the mission he's given me to, on the authority of the fact that I've been commissioned to reconcile you to God, I have been given authority to set you free from your affliction. And on the basis of that authority, I say in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Well, only Jesus got to do that stuff, because Jesus had to prove he was the Son of God. No, Jesus did that as a man anointed with the power of God. A man did it so that the man could show us the pattern for every other man after him. That when you get God on you and you get saturated with the Holy Ghost, you now can walk around and insist that the manifestation of the kingdom comes wherever you are. Be the door. Go ahead, shout at your neighbor, be the door. Said, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones were revived to strength. So he, leaping, stood on his feet. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping. That's real simple stuff right there. And the book of Acts is all about the acts of the Holy Spirit through people just like you. The book of Acts is all about the church was born, and then they did the same stuff that Jesus did, and even better stuff. I mean, we never heard about Jesus shadow healing people, but Peter, literally, it says Peter would go down to Max Milk to get some 2%. And wherever he went, people were influenced. It says, it seems like his shadow heals people. He was so full of the Holy Ghost. He was such a living, breathing access point to the glory of God that unconsciously people would be touched just by being close to him. He'd be on the subway, just going to work in Toronto, just sitting on the subway, and, you know, people coming out of wheelchairs, people being healed, people being touched. This is so annoying. It's hard to get to work. But Peter wasn't unique or special. Peter was just like you or I. What did Peter have? What did he have that you have? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It'll quicken your mortal body. You got in him so that he could get in you, so that he could get out of you and touch your whole world. Be the door. Shout at your neighbor, be the door. Come on, just do it for the pastor. Be the door. Go Cowboys. Oh, I don't even know how I slipped in the flesh so easily there. That was so strange. But, man, let's talk about a few doors. What doors do I have? I don't understand. What doors do I have? Number one, the door of your heart. See, door of my heart. Y'all got a heart? Your inner man, your spirit man, the door of your heart. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You know what happens? When you come to Jesus, you get wrapped up in him, then suddenly the fullness of Jesus gets all over you. And suddenly your heart is transformed, and that selfish, ugly, stony heart is pulled out. That fearful, desperate heart is pulled out. That person who can only think about how they can get by, suddenly your whole world is shifted to where you're no longer so self-absorbed and self-centered. His heart and his love gets all over your heart, and suddenly you start to see the whole world differently. Suddenly that person across the road who was so annoying, suddenly your heart is wide open and his love gets poured in your heart. Suddenly the door of your heart gets bursted open and you see the whole world and people around you with a different lens. 1 John 4:12. Now, no one has seen God at any time. No one's seen God. But it says, but if we love one another, God abides in us. He says, and his love has been perfected in us. Let me paraphrase that for you. Nobody's going to see God physically. But when you love other people, when you embrace the love of God, when you let his love explode out of the door of your heart, people see God because his love is perfected in your life. If you're going to be the door, first thing's got to happen is, man, you got to get your heart whacked with the love of God. And he'll give you such an incredible compassion for the people around you. You'll shift and you'll change forever. Next door, you ready? Here's another door, your mind. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know. That we might know. See, God hits your mind. You don't just get caught up in him. Suddenly he gets caught up in you. He takes place in your heart. He revolutionizes your heart. He touches your heart, takes away all your own personal scabby wounds, and he heals you so that you're no longer just trying to get yourself right. You're so totally right that you can help other people because you got his. How many know to be loved by God is the most healing thing that you would ever experience? But then you know what? Suddenly you start to think differently because that spirit got into you. His spirit's in you. He's living in you. And he's living in you so that we can know the things that have been freely given to us from God. And then he goes on to say, the world doesn't understand. The world can't know. The world can't operate out of the revelation of a relationship with Jesus. But we have the mind of Christ. Woo! Woo! Settle down. Have you ever had a God thought where you go, whoa, that was a God thought? Literally, God says, it's like a paradox. The unsearchable, unfathomable things of God, he says, I'll reveal them to you. So what cannot be searched out, what cannot be known, I will disclose every single bit of it to you. I will lead you into all truth. I got the heart of God. I got his love. My heart has become enlarged. I've got capacity for compassion like I never knew. I'm the doorway to minister the love of God to people. Now, I can even now operate out of his creative realm. I could be at work and there's a problem and also I can get a download from God. I just had a God thought. You can solve problems. You can bring eternity. You can bring heaven on earth, even in your thinking. You can get creative things. You can get ideas for new creations, new things. You are a living access portal. You are a place where the revelation of the thoughts of God begin to make manifestation in the earth. You can have incredible, wonderful revelations. Aren't just, wow, that's a God thought, but a God thought that you can articulate, put on paper, and create. You can change the whole world by having an absolute, clear, once and for all, AIDS can be totally set free. I've got it. I understand how it works. I know how to obliterate it. You got a God thought that sets a whole whack of people free. Man, download some of that in my mind. God wants to do that. You have the mind of Christ. The door of your heart, the door of your mind, the door of your eyes, the door of your eyes. When you're old, your eyes are a door. Your eyes are an access point for things coming and things going. My kids say they can see my eyes. When I get angry, things are coming. They say, you know, usually it's not anything else. It's not your face, not anything, just your eyes. Your eyes like, I am sending out that I am not pleased right now. And they say, it's really exciting. And I'm like, wow, really? Just one look. But, you know, your eyes are also the window to your soul. You see, your eyes can do so much. It says, Proverbs 20, verse 12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord makes them both. And I don't believe that's the physical eye or the physical ear, although he makes those too. I believe that when you're born again, your eyes and your ears are open to the purposes of God. You begin to see. It says, if you're not born again, it says you can't see the kingdom. There's something to see. We sing a song, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's something in the spirit substantially you can experience. But you see, your eyes can be a door. Mark 2, verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith. Your eyes can be a door. Your eyes can be a door where God can speak and you can see how God sees. You can see in the people's lives. You can get visions. You can get revelations. Your eyes can become a portal where God himself begins to speak through and give you revelation through. Your eyes become that window to incredible things. Acts 14:9, Paul then says, Paul was observing him intently and he was seeing that he had faith to be healed. There's times when I'm ministering and I've been preaching and things, and as I'm ministering, I begin to see things. I begin to see faith. I begin to see people who their faith has risen up, and I'll call somebody out because I know I see there's a transaction taking place in the spirit. They've engaged the spirit in a way, and I can see it. There's times we've been ministering to people, and Cheryl was ministering in a church, and there's one time she's praying for a pastor, and she saw, and she didn't see it in the natural, but she saw when she prayed for him, she saw blueprints on a desk. And she began to say, I see blueprints on a desk, and God must have da-da-da-da-da. And then he said, man, that's amazing. Took back to the office, and Cheryl went back, and in the office, he had blueprints all over his desk. See, God will show you things. He'll use your eyes as a portal to speak through, to give you revelation. He'll use your eyes to be a door of the supernatural and be an access point for you and to minister to others, to be the door of people to access the supernatural. Settle down. Man, I'm telling you. Wow, your excitement. I got to move on. All right. You ready? Number, no, I don't have any numbers. The door of your ear. Now here's where Paul said, the Spirit told me to go with them. It wasn't Paul. It was Peter. Peter went into a trance and he saw things in the Spirit. He saw these things, but then it says the Spirit spoke to him. And these people were going to come to the door. And the Spirit said, when they come, go with them. So the Spirit told him, go with them. Your ears, the ear of your heart becomes a place where God communicates with you. And you'll access things in the physical realm. You'll access the supernatural because you learn and because you know that I'm in him, but he's in me. And the reason he's in me is to use every bit of me, all that I am and all of my faculties to demonstrate his goodness to others. Expect God to speak to you. You ready? Everybody say, I hear voices. Well, you get locked up for that kind of stuff, you know. But the Spirit speaks to us. It says when you have ears to hear and you hear, it says to the degree that you're listening and the degree that you hear, it will be measured back to you, the quality of your hearing. So there's two types of people, the hearers and the hear-nots. Be a hearer. Be a hearer. Matthew 13, verse 16, but blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. And Jesus wasn't talking about you heard my story. He says something happened. There was a spiritual transaction with your spiritual ears. You heard something that allowed you to embrace truth and assimilate truth so that you can minister that and manifest that in your life and to other people in your life. Next one. The door of your mouth. And we talked about this last week. And your mouth is your address in the spirit realm. When you speak, you engage the spirit realm. Your mouth is your address in the spirit realm. Mark 11, 23. Person who does not doubt in his heart, but he believes those things that he says. See, I believe in my heart. I'm not doubting in my heart, but I really believe this. I got an image. I got a hope. I got something in my heart that I'm really believing for. God has communicated with me. I've seen something. I've heard something. But now to articulate that, I've got to use the door of my mouth because it says those things that he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. How many got some whatevers? Whatever. He says you will have whatever he says. Acts 3 verse 6, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. See, there's Peter walking into a hopeless situation, but he said, I have the ability, I literally have the responsibility in the name of Jesus to enter into this man's experience and change his world. I don't doubt it. I believe it. You, look at me. And then with his mouth, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He couldn't walk by just thinking that. He had to stop. He had to engage the person. He had to, with his mouth, put a demand on heaven and loose a healing. It had to be said. Give me another one. Here we go. You're ready. The door of your feet. Your feet open doors. It says Joshua 1:3, every place the sole of your foot treads upon, it will be given to you, which means your feet give you access to things. Your feet take you into places. Your feet allow you to go and possess places. You gotta move your feet if you wanna feel the heat. Don't even know what that means, but it sounded good. Every place that you go, your feet, you got to go. Romans 10, verse 15, it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news, who bring the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Your feet are for you to go. Your feet are for you to take you and give you access into places where the good news needs to be communicated. Your feet take you. They open doors. They give you access to places where you are to possess and you're to manifest the purposes of God. One more, just one more. You ready? Your hands. Hallelujah for the hands. Everybody say, give me hands. Show me your hands. Both hands. Wave them. Turn to your neighbor and say, these are my hands. These hands were given by God. These hands are loaded. These hands can loose heaven on earth. Woo! Woo! They're loaded and they're ready to go. It says your door, your feet, your hands are doors. Your hands are doors. Acts 19:11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Hands. You see your hands. It says your hands are for blessing. When you use your hands, you bless. When you use your hands, you loose the blessing of God in situations. It says Mark chapter 16. Remember the good Great Commission? Remember that? The Great Commission. Want me to paraphrase it for you? Go pick a fight with every ugly thing out there. Go initiate contact wherever the devil has people in prison. Go initiate contact wherever people are deceived and in pain. Go. Go with those feet and use your hands, because your hands, when you use your hands in my name, when you use your hands, when you lay your hands on the sick, they will recover. Your hands are loaded. That's why we have the altar open every service at the end. What good would it be to come and sing a couple songs about Jesus, have a little talk about Jesus, and then say, see ya. We want to experience Jesus. We want people to encounter Jesus. So if you don't have the encounter, eventually you scratch your head and go, what am I doing? I read a sad thing in the paper a couple weeks ago from a fellow who pastored here in town, the largest United Church in Canada, and after 35 years of ministry confessed, I don't believe in God. You know why? Because in his world, they never practiced the experience of God. They just talked about him. They had little history lessons about Jesus. Little talks about, you know, and do a couple of these things, two of these, three of those, and here's four ways to get over your stress and five ways to do this. Praise Jesus. But never expecting Jesus to invade their lives. I can give you all the lessons in the world, but if I don't give you an encounter with Jesus, I've left you broken and barren. I've given you a Dr. Phil show. Hey, try three of these little ways. Everybody gets drunk on Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil gave me three principles to overcome fear. I'll give you one principle to overcome fear. Have an encounter with the living God. Have an encounter with perfect love, because perfect love drives out all fear. Get whacked in the Holy Ghost. Get smacked by Jesus, not in some, you know, ethereal kind of funny ooey gooey metaphysical way, but really genuinely have a face to face with. He gets into your face and you know that you know that you know you've had an encounter with the living God. He's not a philosophy. He's not a doctrine. He doesn't live in churches. He wants to be in you, and he wants you to fully, totally, in every way, from the top of your head to the toes, he wants you to experience his fullness in every part of your being. All right, I got to stop because I'm already 5 minutes over. Can you say, stop, Pastor, stop? He's the door, and you're his door. He's your door, and you're his door. He's your door. Woo, hallelujah. I'm lacking nothing because he's my door. I have access to everything, everything wonderful. He's my door. And then you open your eyes, you go, I'm his door. Some people just go up the mountain and go, woo, yeah, woo, and they never come down and minister the needs of people around them. The reason he's your door is so that he can be coming through your door. Now, I gave you all kinds of practical ways to do it. Are you ready? Give me one practical way you can loose the presence of God and you can use your door. Give me one door that you have that you can use. Yes, sir. Hands! If you don't remember anything else, remember that every day when you wake up, go, oh my God, these are loaded. You're getting in the elevator with people. How you doing? You know, what button do you want? Number 13. Then your hand touched theirs. You go, oh, wow, I touched them. And then they're going, got to be careful. These are loaded. But they're loaded with good intentions. They're loaded with the power of heaven. They're loaded to break yokes and shatter oppression off people's lives. You are packing the Holy Ghost and fire. All right, I gotta stop because if I keep going, it'll hallelujah. But we're going to baptize some people. Can I get an amen? Can I pray for y'all right now? Just going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. This series has been fun. We've enjoyed going through and thinking about the doors and looking at doors in the scripture. But Lord, let it climax right now in this. I learned all of that so I could learn that you want to get through me, that you want to infect not just my world and my life. You want to change my neighborhood, my city, even the globe in and through these doors. So, Father, let the revelation sink deep in every heart. May they never, ever think about, you know, again, that shaking a hand to someone is a common thing. May they know that you are about to touch heaven. You are about to experience the heavenly realms. When you touch me, when you literally get on an elevator with me, my shadow is casting the power of a risen Savior. And may we always remember that we are stewards of the power, the might, and the majesty of God. You're not holding out. You did not limit us, but you've given us unlimited access to all of your fullness. And may we steward who we are. May we recognize who we are. May we, as franchises of divine favor, be ready to distribute on every given moment, hooked up with the heavenly realm, loosing your kingdom everywhere we go. In Jesus' precious name.